Hello and welcome to the London Scots podcast, where we talk to Scots who've made it to the big smoke. It's about where they've come from, why they're in London, and what their life is like. And today, I am delighted that we are joined by Alex Christmas. Alex, where did you come from and how did you end up in London?
Hello, everyone. My name's Alex Christmas, as I just said. I've come from a village called Dunblane, which is near Stirling in the Central Belt. And I came down to London. My partner was offered a job. And I just kind of thought I'd join her on the journey. And it kind of led me down here. So that's all really.
when did you move down?
So I moved down in October last year.
October?
So I've been down 6 months or so, yeah.
6 months, okay. And the burning question we all want to know is, what's Andy Murray's hotel like in Dunblane?
It's very posh, so I've only been once. And that was for my granddad's 80th or something like that. It's very posh. It was very big. It's exactly what you would expect from a place that will probably charge you £1,000 a night.
and was it all? I mean, I guess it was always a hotel. Was it he bought over?
I think so. I think it's always been a hotel.
Right, and so he's bought over. And is it full of Andy memorabilia?
No, I think it's kind of tying into like a country kind of manor
country,
house.
Country kind of manor thing, yeah. House.
There are tennis courts though. But I don't think he would play on those. I think they're a little bit lower than the standard he's used to.
Right.
So,
okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Brilliant. Well, we're recording this on the day or the day after he just made his 500th win, I think. So hats off to Andy Murray, top bloke, and support the same football team as I do. So there we go. Right. Okay. So you grew up in Dunblane then, did you?
Yep. Yeah, I grew up in Dunblane. Always lived there. Well, it's technically a city, but it's a cathedral city, so it's not really a proper city. There's only about 10,000 folk that live there. You know most of the people when you're walking down the street. There's two primary schools, really, that feed into one big high school, so you kind of bump into people wherever you are that either know you or know of you, especially with my last name. It sticks out usually that someone...
Wow.
I want to recognise it. So,
yeah. There's not too many Christmases in Dunblane, I guess.
Well, there actually is. My cousins and my grandparents live there, so there's probably about, dozen of us when we were at full capacity, something like that. That's probably quite, percentage-wise, there's probably quite a lot of Christmases compared to the rest of the country.
What was it like then, coming from your 10,000 to your 10 million?
Yeah, a bit of a jump. I think the main thing is you don't necessarily recognise people in the street, or you don't say hello to them. You just kind of walk past them and get on with your kind of general day. There's kind of endless possibilities down here of doing stuff, whatever that may be, if it's sports or museums and all that kind of fun stuff. I think in Dublin I knew where everything was. I knew kind of, all the places you shouldn't be and all the places you should be. As in London, I don't think you really can scratch the surface even if you've been here for 50 years, because there's so much to do. So, yeah, I mean, still lots to kind of explore, which is kind of at the stage that I'm at right now.
And did you ever get bored when you were growing up in Dunblane? I mean, other than just like, all kids get bored, but did the smallness of it ever matter?
I don't think necessarily, because I think where I was lucky enough that the trains from Dunblane could go to either Glasgow or Edinburgh every hour or so. So there was kind of that kind of mid-teens age. You kind of got the flexibility of going into the city, kind of across the Central Belt. But I think when I was younger, I think maybe things that I went to were more weekend events and stuff like that. So midweek, I wasn't really missing anything. And I suppose when you don't go and do stuff every week, you don't miss going and do something if you've never kind of done it, because you don't know what it's like. And I think growing up where I grew up was very good, because there's a lot of my friends stayed there for most of our childhood. So we always were kind of together in that sense, going to the football pitch. It wasn't too busy or whatever that may be. So, yeah, I think it was probably the best kind of hybrid childhood of being in a town that was big enough but not too big kind of thing to kind of get overwhelmed.
And there you go. And your wee journey on the train down to Edinburgh or through to Edinburgh or Glasgow is the same as what most people's commute is in London, I would guess.
Yeah, well, some people travel much farther than that, which was is a bit of a shock, actually. But yeah, I mean, I'm not too bad where I am. I'm only about half an hour, three quarters of an hour into work.
Right.
So, and I'm on the District line, which is a slightly nicer journey than some of the other deep tube lines. So, yeah, I'm a little bit happy with that one. So that helps.
So, without giving your postcode away, which part of the town you live in and where are you working?
Yeah, so I live near Queen's Tennis Club, so kind of in and around above Fulham, and then I work in Fitzrovia, so I kind of go into the city and then up on the tube, which isn't too bad journey-wise.
Is Fitzrovia really posh?
No, not really. It's kind of like the little brother of Soho. It's kind of where everything spills out, I think, on a night out. Kind of in between Soho and King's Cross, so it's not ridiculously posh, I would say. But yeah, I mean, if someone was driving down the street in a massive Range Rover, you wouldn't look twice. But I think that's most of London, really. But yeah, I think the BT Tower is the kind of main thing that's there.
All right, that's Fitzrovia. Right, okay. Yeah. Very good. So what were your first impressions then when you came to London, apart from it being very big?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of expected the worst in every sense. I kind of expected everything to be so big that I'd get sunk. Everything was so expensive, I wouldn't be able to afford to, you know, have a bottle of water. Everything would be so busy that I wouldn't be able to move. So I was kind of expecting the worst. And I think it kind of was better than I thought. I think maybe because of after COVID, things have maybe calmed down, especially with work kind of getting in on the tube and stuff. It wasn't as busy as I thought, although it's still busy, but it wasn't as busy as I thought. And there are still a lot of places that are, I would say, affordable in the loosest terms in central London on the right days. But there's just like so much to do that you kind of just, you need to pre-plan stuff a lot more than what you do in Scotland, because otherwise it will get fully booked and they won't come back. Or if they do come back, it won't be for another year and it'll be double the price or something like that. So you kind of need to plan a little bit more, but yeah, it's busy, but it's, I think after a few weeks you work out the best places to go at the best times and kind of work your way around it.
Very good. And what's your local pub like?
I've got two or three. I would say two of them are a little bit dodgy. I don't choose to drink there kind of in any loose of terms. They're where I am.
You just drink there out of desperation when you say don't shoot.
Yeah, well, they're good to show on the football. Chelsea pub, so you kind of, there's not much choice of what games go on. But there's a club towards the, there's a pub towards the tennis club, which is a little bit nicer, and there's a bit more kind of tennis memorabilia and stuff. So if I was taking any of my family, I would take them there because it's a bit, bit nicer.
There you go, right. Okay, so price of a pint in your local there versus the price of a pint in Dunblane.
I think a price of pint would be about, for lager, would be like £6, £6.50. And I think in Dunblane, the village was £3.70. Oh. I think it went up to £3.75, and I think it was a bit of an outrage.
Right, okay.
But yeah, that's a tenants versus a parling or something like that. So it's
okay. Yeah. So comparable.
Yeah.
Right. So what did you do then? I mean, are you at liberty to disclose what you do for a living?
Yeah, I'm not the Prime Minister or something like that. No, I'm a civil engineer, so I work in a consultancy, designing drainage or road build ups and roads designs and all that kind of fun stuff. In and around London and the rest of the UK really.
Right.
That's kind of the kind of basis of it. Most of it's based around London, obviously, with it being a London-based company. But we've had a few projects in Scotland that I don't think too much has happened on, but they're on the project map anyway, that we can say that they've tried to approach somebody in Scotland anyway. I think there's something in St Andrews and Uni and stuff like that. So.
But if you're ever needing any pothole work, there's tons on my road just outside here.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't do the work. I can stand there and tell somebody to do what to do. I can't do it myself.
So civil engineering, and was it much of a thought? I mean, you said your partner moved down here and that was really your draw to move down. What would you have done if that hadn't been the case?
Yeah, so I worked for Dundee City Council and I basically completed it was called graduate apprenticeship. So I basically went to uni one day a week. It was a bit like day release, I think, people like my dad used to do. And they've kind of brought it back a little bit. So I did that. And I would probably still be there. I was quite happy there. The work was fine. I mean, it was Dundee City, things to do around there. But, I mean, yeah, she got offered a job down here and just kind of thought we might as well go for it. I was maybe a little bit more reserved than her when I looked at prices of flats and things like that. And I thought, hang on a minute. It's not like I'm going to be earning massively more money or anything like that. And I'm now paying four times what you would for the same for the same thing. So I was a little bit reserved in that sense. But yeah, I'd be doing much the same, but in a different country.
Of course, it is an utter shocker, the price of accommodation in London. I mean, the price here is bad enough, but at least that's comparable to some of the places in Edinburgh. But just the price of accommodation is utterly shocking.
Yeah, it is. But I think you kind of, I think down here you can get swarmed into the fact of it being normal until you look on Rightmove. I'd look at Dunblane, and Dunblane's not the cheapest place at all. And I would look at a price of a one bed flat down here for a four bed house up there. I'm looking down here, I think that's not too bad for that actually. and then I can see you can buy a castle in Argyll and Bute for the same price.
So I bet it's nice castles in Argyll and Bute.
Oh, lovely guy, I'm sure.
We were down the Kintyre Peninsula the other day. That's a week ago or so. We had with the family in the camper van. Fantastic.
Yes.
So, have you been back much to Scotland since you came down?
Yeah, I've been back a few times. Admittedly, it's mainly to see family and things like that. There's not really too much else that's drawn me back up. I think family's the main one. My partner's probably lucky enough that she can get away with doing working transport her up and things like that, because they've got a couple of offices, and so she's got meetings up north sometimes, so she can kind of work around her family. Not that I've got that luxury, but things like bank holidays and stuff like that, I take that as a kind of opportunity to come up for 3 or 4 days if I take a day, or try and work from home in Scotland or something like that. And I train it up much. I mean, compared to flying, it's a little bit cheaper. I think it's much the same time, and it should be better for the planet anyway. So
A train wins hands down for me every time. And that Lumo service is pretty good actually as well. It's quite fast.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I seem to always end up getting the linear up the East Coast and having to swap at Edinburgh. But admittedly, it is better to swap at Edinburgh than it is at Glasgow, because for me, I would need to go from Central to Queen Street. With a suitcase.
Oh, you don't want to do that.
With a suitcase, you don't want to go up that hill on a wet, windy day when you're used to being dry down here.
And you've not really experienced then a London summer yet?
No. I'm a little bit worried it'll be too hot for me. I think when we came down in October, in September, start of October, and we left Scotland, and it was when it was absolutely peeing it down. I think there was a yellow weather warning in Stirling. In Stirlingshire somewhere, and coming down, my dad, thankfully, we had a Sprinter from Arnold Clark, and we drove all the way down with all our stuff, sofa and stuff like that in it. We ended up having, I've got a little garden down here, luckily enough, and I got a couple delivered pizzas. We were sitting outside and it was 22 or 3 degrees at 7 o'clock at night. It was ridiculous. I thought if you'd have plumped in there, in Barbados or something, I'd have probably not said you were lying, but it was. I thought it can't be this hot all the time, and it hasn't been. But
so you do get a real summer in London, and it can't get too hot at times, but you do get a real. You can go out with safety in your shorts and your t-shirt.
I think I was going to work at points in a shirt and a jumper or whatever, what kind of stuff that I'm wearing now, and people would be turning up and these, you know, North Face jackets that are about 30 meters wide, and I think, so where have you been? There's a couple of Kiwis and Aussies that are like, how can you cope?
It's just got into double figures in temperature.
Yeah. I've taken my jumper off when it hits low teens or something like that. Yeah.
And so what have you been doing then for your spare time when you've been settling in? What place have you been going to? What have you been seeing?
Loads. I mean, we probably, like everybody, would start kind of in the centre and work your way out. And you probably realise that the best stuff is not always in the centre. I think the one of the main things that you do when you've just come down is probably all the museums and stuff like that. Because one, they're free, and two, they're pretty accessible and easy to get in. Open every weekend, and it's kind of a last minute thing, you just run in and do it. So they're very good and entertaining, actually. Theatre and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of the time that we just book tickets and on the week of or next week or whatever, and it could be you're up the back or you're right up the front, and you're looking up to the looking up to the stage. But if you get a ticket for £20 or whatever, you can't complain too much.
Oh, absolutely.
And sport events and stuff like that. I went to basketball a couple of times that I would never normally go to for £5 or £10 or something like that. Well, so there are some bargains out there, kind of.
There are bargains to be had. Now, on I think it's a podcast, our last podcast, or the one before last, we've been told about a great app, which we'll try and make a link to here for last-minute tickets. Ticket something.
I think it was Today Ticks.
Today Ticks, that's it. Well done.
There's Today Ticks and Central Tickets. There's a couple apps that are pretty good.
Today Ticks, right. Well done, well spotted. Right, right, let's get to that part of the show then where you've got to tell us an app or a joke.
Yeah, I was on the tube on the way home and I was thinking about it and I thought I better say an app because a lot of my jokes probably aren't PG or probably aren't very good. So I think the main app that I would use, I mean, most of them have been said, things like City Mapper and all that. But I think the one that I use probably most often is an app called Offline Games. And the reason it's Offline Games is because on the tube on the way through, having no bars or no service or things like that, not having a game, because most of the games nowadays is they've got adverts and all the rest of it to actually function. So this is an offline games. It's just an app that has basic offline games, things like Sudoku or Battleships and all this kind of fun stuff they used to do probably when you were 5 or something. But they have it in a kind of quite quick and easy games. And it always works, so it's very handy on the tube when there's no, if you've got some music or podcast like this downloaded on Spotify or whatever, you're playing that and then you're having a game of Connect 4 against a computer. It's
living in no time.
Yeah. I mean, it's much easier than relying on Signal, because some of the time you get it at tube stations and then the next one you don't get it. So, yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. Well, listen, Alex, thank you very much for coming on London Scots Day and telling us about your London life and the first year. Are you still in the first love of London then, the first 6 months? Are you still blooming?
Yeah,
or has it drowned you down?
No, I think I'm still kind of I'm probably in spring. I've kind of done the first quarter, and then we're going hopefully into a bit kind of better stuff because I understand where everything is and how to get there and what not to do and what to do. So I think that's where I'm at right now.
Very good. Well, when you get a chance, you've got 2 free tickets for you and your partner to come along to the Cayley Club. Whenever you want, one of our regular Cayleys, and just drop me a note to ed@cayleyclub.com when you want to come, and we'll get that sorted out to you. And in the meantime, thank you very much, and enjoy your London life.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Now, say hi to Andy when you see him, okay?
I'll try.
Thank you for listening to the London Scots podcast. The wonderful music was provided by License to Cayley, and if you're looking for a great night out in London, then head over to the Cayley Club for 3 hours of dancing to a live band and caller. No experience necessary. Thanks again, and lang may your limerick.